All right. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Ricky Scapparo, the founder of End Time Headlines and the pastor of Remnant Revival Ministries. I want to welcome you to the broadcast today. If you would, please let me know where you guys are joining us from down there in the comments of Facebook. I want to welcome all of our YouTube audience as well. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to give you some scripture where we're going to go, give you what we're going to talk about. And while you're turning there and waiting for everybody to come on here, I'm going to go ahead and share this to a couple locations myself so that we can get the comments, everybody onto the broadcast. So we're going to be hanging out Luke chapter 12 today and Matthew 14 and a couple other places. So if you have a Bible, please follow along with us if you would like to, or you can just listen along whatever you'd like to do. Again, I'm just simply sharing this to some different pages and communities here on Facebook so that we can get everybody involved and notified that would like to come on do the broadcast. If you know anybody that would benefit from this message or that would enjoy the topic that we're talking about today, please go ahead and share this, link this, tag this on Facebook that you need to do to get them in to this broadcast. So let's get started on this thing. I want to talk about the lesson from feeding the 5,000 that the church should take note of, the lesson of feeding the 5,000 that we can learn from this particular lesson that Jesus dealt with. So I'm going to be following along with you here, or if I can, I'm going to try to do this here in the comment section here. So again, welcome everybody. Listen, if you're new to the broadcast, please let me know in the comments section, or you guys on YouTube in the comment section, let us know. Type in I'm new, and we want to welcome you, myself and our admin that will join us here on the broadcast as well. We'll be welcoming you to the broadcast as always. So, all right, guys, Luke 12, I know this is talking about feeding the 5,000 here in Luke chapter 12, but we're going to kind of build our way up to this. Many of you have heard this. Some of you have not. We have a lot of new partners and new supporters of the ministry, but this is a particular topic that we recycle many times throughout the years because it is a very powerful equipping message dealing with giving and receiving. So here it is, Luke 12. And then one from the crowd said to the Lord Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses." Let me say that again. One's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. And then he spoke a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself.'" Someone say, "Laying up treasure for myself. And is not rich towards God." Somebody say, "Rich towards God." I'm saying this, once you get this in your spirit today, because this is where we're going with this. And then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what about your body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I have said to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. My goodness. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Here it is, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, the first thing I want to emphasize here is that God is not against you having things. I'm going to say that again. God is not against you having things. Many times we hear an out-of-balance message in which an assault comes against the body of Christ for people who have things. You know, if you're blessed with a nice home, or if you have a nice vehicle, or if you have a paid-off vehicle, you have a paid-off home, or you wear nice clothes, or your kids are in a college or a nice university or a nice college or in a nice school or a private school, then they want to teach that, you know, that you're out of line, or that you're walking in error, or that God's not blessed you, and these are things of the devil that's promoting all this stuff, and that's absolute nonsense. Again, God knows you need things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Things are home. Things are clothes. Things are necessities. Things are food on the table, clothes for your children. I believe God wants you to have nice things. But again, it's all about the mindset. It's about the heart. It's about the attitude. It's about the mentality. And it's about what we do when we are blessed. Okay, some of y'all is going to begin. I've already seen people checking out, because anytime you start talking about finances, blessings, giving, receiving, prosperity, people want to check out because they hate any teaching on this. But guys, I'm going to tell you something. I believe the principle of giving and receiving is an elementary principle with every believer. If you can't graduate in the arena of giving and receiving, you are not going to be able to steward the more deeper and greater things of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said it like this: if I can't trust you to be ruler over what is little, how can I make you a ruler over what is much? Come on, somebody. If God can't entrust you with $100, how are you even qualified and have any business praying for God to bless you with $1,000? Because you couldn't even honor him in the $100 he gave you, so you're asking God to bless you with $1,000. So I'm just trying to use this as an emphasis. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 11. Watch this. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Again, he's not against your possessions, but what are you doing with them? Are you honoring the Lord? Listen to this. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. What are the first fruits of your increase? It's the tithe. Some of y'all is going to check out right there, because some preachers come along and try to convince you that tithing's not relevant today. God doesn't require you to tithe. But it's amazing how, I've been tithing for 19 years, and the fruit is abounding on my life, my family, and my ministry. God has absolutely blessed us because we've honored him in the tithe. We've honored him by bringing the first fruits of our increase to the storehouse, that there may be plenty in the storehouse, and that he would open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we have not room enough to receive, and that he would rebuke the devourer for his name's sake. But the problem is, listen to this, guys. I want you to get this in your spirit. I know some of y'all has heard me preach on this, but I'm going to take it a couple different angles today. See, it's amazing how all believers, born again believers, will believe in a book in heaven which they've never seen and they've never touched, they've never opened the pages of, which is called the book of life. They believe when they gave their heart to Jesus, they repented of their sins, they made their heart right with God, they asked him to come and save them, cleanse them of all unrighteousness, and become born again. They believe, although they've never seen the book, never handled the pages, never touched it, They believe that their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they believe in a heaven in which they've never seen. But friends, how is it we will have faith for that, but we don't have faith that God can bless us in our finances if we simply honor Him and seek Him first in His kingdom? Now, let me go back to Proverbs 3, 9, 11. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Listen to this, verse 10. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. Now, when you read this, you almost read this and begin to wonder, well, hold on here. What was the problem with the guy over here in Luke 12 who even the Bible says that he had an abundance? He had no more room. He had so much of abundance that he had no more room to store his crops. And he said within his own heart, I'll pull down my barns. Notice he mentioned barns here, and barns is mentioned in Proverbs 3. And it says that when we honor the Lord, the first fruits are increased. Our barns will be filled with plenty and our vats with overflow with wine. But yet in the New Testament, Jesus rebukes a man for expanding his barns to build greater and to store even more. Can I answer that question? The reason why the man was rebuked here is because of his condition of his heart and what he did with the increase. It wasn't that God was blessing him. It wasn't that he had an abundance. It wasn't that he was blessed. It wasn't that he was prospering. And it wasn't that he had things. That was never the problem. The problem was his mentality. Oh, come on, somebody. His mentality was, instead of being a place of distribution, I'm going to be a storehouse only. A storehouse only that has a combination lock and no one can gain and there's no distribution. In other words, I want to be a pond and not a stream. See, a pond is not, it does not move, it does not flow, there's no current, and it becomes stagnant, it becomes unfruitful, and it begins to die. But a stream is always moving, it's always expanding, it's always distributing, it's always producing life, it's always giving back. Now let's go back, now let's go to Matthew 14. I wanted to say that to get to this part, because watch this, we're going to move right into this thing. Matthew 14, 13 through 21. Jesus departed to a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. Notice he saw a need. Oh, this is so good, guys, if you can get this today. Jesus looked out and he saw a need, a great multitude. And the Bible says he was moved with compassion. And he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, quote, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said unto them, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, hold on here. You would think the disciples would say, well, wait a minute, Jesus, you're Jehovah Jireh. You're the provider. You're El Shaddai. You're more than enough. You're Elohim. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver and gold is yours. The earth is in the fullness thereof is yours. You live in a place in heaven that has streets of gold and walls, of jasper and all this. And you're telling us to give to them. You're telling us to provide for them. Watch this. He says, you give them something. And they said to him, all we've got is this five loaves and two fish. And he said to them, bring it to me. Come on, you got to get this. He didn't say, listen, notice Jesus didn't say five loaves and two fish. Do you not realize? Come on, do you boys not look out here and see how many people's out here? There's at least 5,000 men, not including women and children. And you're telling me you've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. You mean Jesus didn't shut it down right there and say, yeah, you know what? Never mind. That ain't going to fire. That's only going to feed a family of 2 people. And we've got multitudes of people out here. Never mind. I'll just do it myself. No, he didn't say that. He said, give me what you've got. Golly. You know how many people in 19 years of ministry, you know how many people I deal with on a weekly basis to say, well, you know, Pastor, I would tithe, but the Lord knows that I have more bills than I do money. I've got more going out in expenses than I do coming in to supply for that. Friends, if you understood, if God would ever open your eyes to the revelation that when you begin to honor him with the little, he will break it, multiply, and expand it to make it much. I'm going to prove it right here. Watch this. Give me the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And he said, quote, bring them here to me. And then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. In other words, he said, get ready to receive, guys. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke. He blessed and broke it and gave. Notice he didn't distribute it himself. He gives the loaves back to the disciples, and the disciples distribute it to the need. Golly, here's the key. If you don't get anything out of this message today, what you honor the Lord with, he blesses it, he breaks it, he multiplies it, he gives it back to you, because you and I are the hands and the feet of the gospel. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are his ambassador. You are the only Jesus that most people will ever see. You're his hands and feet. So what we give to him, he blesses it, he multiplies it, he gives us back to us. Why? So that we can store, hoard up, and never be a distribution center, never bless the poor, never bless the needy, never bless the homeless, never bless the widow, never honor the Lord or tithe, never give. Nope, that's not what he's saying here. Watch this. He gives it back to them, and they begin to distribute. And the Bible says in verse 20, they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. What? Hold on here a second. So wait a minute. There was 5,000, not including women and children, and you took 5 loaves and 2 fish, blessed it, broke it, distributed to these disciples. They gave out, fed all thousands of people, and then there was baskets, 12 baskets left over. How's that possible? Well, friends, you tell me how it's possible that God will take the 90% of your finances and bless it and break it and multiply it, and you'll end up, come on, with the miracle. We always emphasize, well, look at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Well, friends, you know what I've discovered over 19 years? I'm excited every time we receive a blessing to our ministry. You know why I'm excited? Because we get to give it back to him so that he can break it, multiplied, distributed back to us, and that we can sow into other ministries. We can sow into missionaries. We can sow into the poor, the needy, the widow, the orphans. And as we distribute and give and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, lo and behold, at the end of the month, all of our needs are met. David said it like this: I was young and I'm old, and I have yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor see his seed beg of bread. The Bible says the young lions therefore hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. The Bible says he's a sun and a shield, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. This is so powerful, guys. So again, I want to emphasize something. Number one, Jesus was moved with compassion because he saw a need. Number two, Jesus asked the disciples to minister to the people with the substance and not himself. Number three, the disciples gave him the little that they had. Jesus took the little that they had, blessed it, and made it much, only to give it back to the disciples so that they could continue. Come on, that they had an opportunity to reap the fruits to the benefit them. It's like the woman in Mark chapter 12, the widow woman. They were at the treasury and Jesus told his disciples, guys, he highlighted this widow. The Bible says in Mark chapter 12, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich were putting money into it. And then one poor widow came and threw in two mites. And he calls his disciples. In other words, listen, why did he call them? He said, you're about ready to get a lesson on giving and receiving. My goodness, watch this. He calls them in there and he says, watch this. Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who had given to the treasury. And for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. And then from one of the crowd said, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. So again, some of these people were missing the whole point. Here it is, guys. Let's go back to what I just said. If we have this mentality, well, preacher, I would honor. Listen, if you've got a home church, I'm not asking for your money. You tithe to your home church. But if your home church is End Time Headlines or Remnant Revival Ministries, I'm trying to emphasize to you guys the blessing of tithing. Honor. Listen, we're not even talking about offering. We're talking, if you can't, you got to make a covenant with God in your finances and tithing. And the Bible says, honor the Lord in your tithes and offerings. Okay? So, this is what I'm trying to tell you, and I'm going to prove to you what Paul said here in a second in Philippians chapter 4. And people say, well, preacher, I would tithe and I would give, but I can't afford to give. Listen, friends, I'm going to tell you this. I have walked out what I'm preaching 19 years ago when I first gave my heart to the Lord. The very first thing God began to deal with me on was the treasure of my heart, which was my money, which was the income, which was my increase. And when I began to make a covenant like Jacob did, in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, when he began to make a covenant with God, then I begin to see, come on, I begin to see the ladder, the angels ascending, descending. I'm not talking about literally here, but I'm talking about I begin to see the blessings come and go, the distribution come, the blessings come and that were coming so that I could distribute out. And the more the Lord increases, the more that we would tithe, the more that we would increase our giving and distribution. And we begin to honor the poor, honor the widow, honor the needy. And I'm going to tell you something. There were times in the past when we had more money going out than we had coming in. And on paper, it didn't make sense to tithe. But can I tell you something? There ain't nothing about the kingdom of God that makes sense to the rational mind. Who in the world gives 10% of all their income? Who in the world blesses your enemies? Who prays for those who persecute you and despitefully uses you? Come on, somebody. Who in their rightful mind, in a rational mind, can comprehend these things? But Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you be born again, you'll by no means understand, perceive, or comprehend the kingdom of God and how it operates. You can't see the law of gravity, but you can see how it works. And I don't care. You can say, well, I don't believe in that giving and receiving stuff. Well, you could say you don't believe in the law of gravity, but I guarantee you, you jump out of an airplane without a parachute, the law of gravity is going to welcome you real quick, whether you believe it or whether you don't. And I see a lot of mad faces here on our Facebook Live. And it's because, listen, can I give you a revelation? The people Listen, those who are angry at the message are those who don't tithe. They're the ones that don't give. The ones that reject this word and this equipping message are the ones who will not embrace it. I've never heard someone ever in my life, I've never met a faithful tither or one who honors the Lord in their finances ever one time get angry at a message of giving and receiving. Never have I done it. Why? Because they understand. Just like I've never heard an individual who's been healed in their body because they believed in the healing power of Jesus. Never, ever once have I ever heard them argue and reject the message of healing. Ever. I'm trying to help someone, guys. If you will just listen, if you will just get this, listen to this. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given back unto you. Watch this. Good measured, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto you. And with the same measure that you give, it shall be given back unto you. What are y'all going to do with that? Well, I don't believe that. Well, then just rip it out of your Bible if you don't believe that. But it's the law of giving and receiving. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, as long as the earth remains, so shall seed time and harvest. Okay? 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 15. But this I say, he that sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. I had someone one time that emailed me this long hate mail. And they try to rebuke me, and they try to bring correction, and they say, nowhere in the Bible does it talk about sowing and reaping. Nowhere. And I brung up 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 15, and I gave it to them. I said, here you go, sir. Here you go. And let me read this to you. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, right there, brother, that proves that we don't have to tithe. Well, friends, again, you don't have to serve God. You don't have to be faithful to your wife either. You don't have to be faithful in your church attendance. You don't have to be a good parent. There's a lot of things you don't have to do, but we do it out of our love for Him. Listen, the rich young ruler, Jesus said, and when He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And He said, have you honored the commandments? And he said, oh, yes, I've done all this since childhood. And he said, you've done well. He said, there's one thing you lack. Sell what you have and give to the poor. And the man walked away sorrowfully. Why? Because he was not willing to be a place. Come on, somebody. He was not willing to be a place of distribution. He wanted to be a storehouse only. He wanted to receive, but he didn't want to give. And because of this, he walked away sorrowfully. See, if it's in your heart to be a giver, if it's in your heart to meet the poor, to meet the needs of the poor and the widow and the orphans and to help people, then listen to this. Let me read on. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Did you hear that? He wants you and I to have an abundance for every good work. Come on, I pray for our ministry to prosper. I pray for partners to our ministry. I pray for people to be faithful tithers and givers and partners. Why? So we can store up our barns and build plenty? No, so that we can expand our outreach. We can travel more. We can give more. We can tithe more. We can build a studio. We can eventually do things that has been locked up in the vision of this ministry, but we have to come on, faith without works is dead, so that we can do these things and reach more people for the kingdom and be more of an influence. All right. See, more people are dropping like flies, guys, but there's a remnant that will get this and run with it. Watch this. Let me read on. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. In other words, listen, if you don't sow, you don't get the fruit. Well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm going to read to you something in Philippians that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, and you can either believe it or you don't. Listen to what he says. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God for the administration of this service, not only, listen to this, not only does it supply the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgiving to God. While through the proof of this ministry, While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Now, I'm almost done, guys. Let me read this last verse, Philippians 4. If you have your Bible, go to the book of Philippians 4. Some of you have heard me talk about this, but this is so powerful if you'll get this. Philippians 4. But I rejoice, and this is Paul addressing the church of Philippi. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, this is Paul speaking, I've learned in whatever state that I am to be content, and I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In other words, I know how to have little, and I know how to have much. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry. In other words, listen, there was places that Paul traveled and he may have not gotten very much at all in an offering for his ministry. But then there was other places he went and he got a great increase and a great offering. But he learned that regardless of whether it be little or whether it be much, God was always supplying all of his needs according to his riches and glory. All right, watch this. That's why for us, our ministry, can I say this? I'm going to brag on our ministry. Okay? Our ministry does not take, we do not require an honorarium anywhere we go and preach. In fact, we're preaching in less than 2 weeks. And I had one of the associates there at the church contact me and says, what do you require as an honorarium? And I had to email him back and said, I don't require an honorarium. And you said, well, you shouldn't, brother. But listen, did you know that the majority of preachers out there you see on Christian television or a lot of these on Facebook and this, they require an honorarium. And we're not talking about a couple hundred dollars. We're talking about some of them require several thousands of dollars as an honorarium. You say, well, what's an honorarium? And it's a deposit, basically. It's an assured amount of money that they're going to get before they ever step foot in the church, before they ever preach, before they ever minister. They're going to know that they're going to have a check in their hand with X amount of dollars before they leave that building. That's an honorarium. It's an advance, basically. And we don't do that. All I do is I tell the people, you know, we minister and we ask the people to give according to what the Holy Spirit puts on their heart. And you know what? God has always been faithful to bless us and meet all of our needs. Okay? Now watch. This gets good right here. Watch this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Did you know that that was the real? We hear that scripture quoted all the time and used and abused. Well, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But in the context of this scripture, it was about giving and receiving. It was about knowing to abound in little and abound in much. And he says, here's what he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. In other words, as long as I've got Christ in me, it doesn't matter what I have out there as long as I've got him in here. Watch this. Verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now clean out your ears and listen to this. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, No church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Well, I don't think giving and receiving is in the Bible. Well, there you go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. It tells you right there. And Paul, Paul is telling the church of Philippi, you, of all the churches that I apostle, that I steward over, that I oversee as an apostle, you are the only church that has ever shared with me concerning giving and receiving. Come on, let that sink in. And listen what he says. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Did you hear that? In other words, here is Paul in Thessalonica ministering, equipping, stewarding, fathering that church, and the church of Philippi is sending him resources and blessings to support him when he wasn't even in the church of Philippi, but they were honoring him as he, come on, as he traveled and ministered to these other churches. Listen to this. Not verse 17. This is Paul speaking, the apostle Paul. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Oh, guys, listen, you better highlight that. You better underline that. You better get that in your spirit. Paul's saying, I'm not seeking the gift, but I'm seeking the fruit that abounds on your account. In other words, what he's saying here, church, is he's saying that when you honor the man of God, when you honor the kingdom of God, when you honor, when you begin to do what God commands you to do, feed the poor, help the widow, help the orphans, build orphanages, come on, sow into evangelism, sow into the church, honor the Lord with your tithe, give to missionaries. When you begin to give to the kingdom of God, when you begin to seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, this is what he's saying. He said, then all these things shall be added unto you. What are these things? It's the fruit to your account. And come on, it's when you're about to throw in the towel and God shows up with a knock on the door from a sister from the church or a brother from the church, and they come and say, I don't even know why I came by today. I was going on the other side of town, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me today and said that you needed a few extra dollars, or you needed, come on, or the Lord spoke to me today and said to get you some groceries. I hope I didn't miss him. And little do they know, but you were down to your five fish and your five loaves and your two fish, and you're saying, God, what am I going to do? And the Lord says, just give it to me and put it in my hands and trust me and see if I'll not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you have not room enough to receive. Come on, that's when I'm talking about, when you begin to honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase, and you don't know how you're going to get by for the week, and all of a sudden you check the mailbox and there's a check in the mail and you don't even know why you got the check there. You don't even know why you received it. There's no reason for you to have that. Come on, somebody. That's when the boss comes to you when it ain't even time for you to get promoted. He says, look, I've noticed that you've been on time. You've been a faithful employee. You've been trustworthy. You've been confident. You've been someone who's been found to be faithful over what is little. Now I want to honor you and make you what is ruler over much. Come on, somebody. Do I got anybody out there on YouTube or Facebook that can testify a little bit for Brother Ricky today and said, I know what you're talking about, preacher, because I was one that had little and God began to bless me so I could be a distributor and begin to see the fruit on my account. And we're not talking about just financially, guys, but I'm talking about if you go and look at the covenant that Jacob made at Bethel. He made a covenant with God and said, God, if you will bring me back safely to my hometown, and if you will honor all my needs, I'll honor you with the tenth of all my increase. And you go research it, you study it, and you'll discover that not only was all the needs of Jacob met, not only was his needs met, but he was pressed down, shaken together, running over. It was to the point where he ran into his old ark. His brother, he run into Esau later on in life, and Jacob was so blessed that he tried to tithe to Esau. He tried to give a tenth to Esau, and Esau was so blessed himself. He said, look, I don't even need your blessing because I've got such fruit on my account. He said, you just go be a blessing to somebody else. Not only was he blessed financially and prospering, but come on, but the Bible says that he brought him back safely. Do you realize Esau could have killed Jacob for what he did? He wrongfully stole the blessing. He could have took him out. But come on, the grace and the mercy of God, the fruit was on his life. How many things that God delivered us from, healed us from, saved us from, come on, brought us out of, it's all because we made a covenant with him. I'm telling you, our God is a covenant making God. He honors covenant. He blesses covenant, and his covenant he shall not break. Paul said, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds on your account. Listen to this, verse 18. Indeed, I have all, and I abound, and I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. In other words, golly, this is so powerful, guys. He said, I am so blessed by your offering. I'm so blessed by the gift that you've sent me. And listen what he says. He describes it as a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice that's well-pleasing to God. Did you know that when you give the Lord, when you give to the Lord, when you honor the Lord with your tithes and with your offerings, did you know that it's an expression of worship? Giving is an expression of worship. We think worship is lifting our hands in church. We think it's singing a new song. We think it's laying prostrate before him. Prostrate before him. We think it's laying out before him in the presence of God. Yes, that is a form of worship. It's a form of expression. But when you give to him, it's an expression of worship. When the wise men, when they showed up at the birth of Jesus, they worshiped him with an expression of giving. Golly. And he called it a sweet aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And listen to verse 19. As a result of your giving, he says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Guys, listen, I don't know about you, but having known this revelation, I can't afford not to tithe. I can't afford not to honor God with my giving and honor the Lord with the sacrifice of my offerings and my tithes and know and testify and walk out and experience the windows of heaven being blessed, being opened and being poured out. Not that I have so much room that I can't receive it so that I can go and do like the man in the book of Luke and build extra barns and open up multiple accounts and keep storing, storing, and storing, but to be a distribution center and come on and honor, come on, who God commands me to honor in Jesus' name. So here's what we're going to do, guys. I know it's a little bit different, and we're not going to have the huge crowds in here today because, again, I'm telling you, people don't like. If you want enemies, just talk about money. You start talking about money and you'll have enemies. Okay, but I'm telling you, if you'll take this to heart, if you'll receive this word today, you'll begin to apply this today. You watch God move on your behalf. So here's what I want you to do. Let's get some stuff straight real quick before we sign off. Okay. I have emphasized over and over again, if you have a home church, you love your church, you're a part of your church, you're plugged into your church, you are used in your church, your kids are there, your family's there, you have been there for years, you honor your church, you tie to that church, you honor the Lord with your giving to that church and bless that ministry so that that church can operate, it can function, and it can be the distribution center that God's called it to be. Okay. But if you do not have a home church and you consider Remnant Revival Ministries, ETH, you consider this your church, then I want you to, I want you to, I challenge you, step out in faith and begin to honor the Lord. Sow your tithe, your first fruits of your increase, your tithes and your offerings. And you say, well, I've got a home church, Brother Ricky, but I would like to sow an offering. You listen, guys, when you sow into this ministry, again, we every penny that comes in, we are distribution center. We honor the Lord. The first fruits are increased. And above and beyond, we don't just tithe. We tithe and give offerings. We partner with other ministries. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, cast your bread upon many waters, and it shall return after many days. We sow into multiple streams, and we honor the poor, the widow, the needy, and the orphan. So I wanted to get that out there. We wanted to emphasize that, because I don't want anybody contorting, twisting, and making up a bunch of garbage, because I know how people do this. They'll get on YouTube and they'll take little snippets of this and they'll play little videos without putting the whole thing. They'll leave out the beginning and the end. They'll take the middle and they'll blast it and say, look, this guy's a charlatan. He's a heretic. This is what he's saying. But we want to give you the full message today so that you have no misunderstandings of what we're talking about today. So I want you to step out by faith. I want to challenge you today, just like I would challenge you to believe God for your healing, believe God for your deliverance, believe God to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, believe God to be saved, believe God for your family to be delivered and be set free and be water baptized. The same faith that you have in these areas, I want to challenge you today to put legs to your faith and begin to step out in faith and believe him in your finances. Make a covenant like Jacob did and say, this day I choose to honor the Lord with the first fruits of my increase. Regardless of what my circumstances look like, what it looks like, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to honor the Lord. And friends, when you do that, I'm telling you, friends, based upon the word of God, not my word, not my opinion, but upon the word of God, he says, try me not and see if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I've seen it for 19 years. God has never failed us, never let us down, and he's always been faithful to our ministry. So again, guys, if you would like to support this ministry, again, we've clarified that. If this is your home church and you would like to begin to start honoring the Lord with your tithes and offerings, then we want to give you the opportunity. You can click under Facebook Live, under Support the Ministry. Click on that link, begin to step out in faith and do that. You can, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Again, you guys on YouTube, you're going to see that link right there, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Before long, it'll be remnantrevival.org. It's going to be our main website for Remnant Revival Ministries. If you'd like to sow a if you'd like to sow or give your tithe or whatever it is and buy a check or money order, you can make that out to either, listen carefully, either Remnant Revival Ministries or End Time Headlines or ETH or RRM. Either one of those, and they're both at P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana, 47131. Okay. Again, same tree, two branches. All right. So we pray that you be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do, drawing you to do, and watch God move on your behalf. If you'd like to subscribe to our free daily digest for ETH to get all of our information, that's our information arm, is End Time Headlines, and you get our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective in your inbox. Every day you'll get one email. Again, click on there under our Facebook Live, and please do that, and you can get that inbox. You guys on YouTube, again, go to the main website. You'll see a place right there where you can subscribe. Again, guys, we're in the process. The main website for Remnant Revival Ministries is almost complete. Once we get that up, we'll be able to share more about that. You'll be able to subscribe to a newsletter there. You'll be able to get our itinerary if we're preaching or ministering in a city near you or whatever. All that stuff's going to be on there. So we hope to hear from you, and we hope that you'll be able to partner with us. So we love you guys. God bless you. And again, I just want to say a special thank you. Just like Paul did to the church of Philippi, he began to thank them and admonish them and just let them know. And just like Paul did, I emphasize to all of our partners, those that support us financially through prayer, through intercession, through electronic giving, through letters, through in the mail, whatever the case may be, you know who you are. And we see your letters. We read all of your letters, your cards, your blessings, your gifts. We appreciate you from the bottom of our heart. Again, if it was not for you and our partners, we would not be able to do what we're doing on a weekly basis and travel and minister and do these broadcasts 3 days a week and so on and so forth and do what we do. So we love you guys. We appreciate you, and we will see you, Lord willing. We're going to take off tomorrow on Thursday, and we'll be back here on Friday, and we will minister whatever the Lord puts on our heart. So God bless you guys. We'll see you then.